the Saturday Light Brigade. It's now 12 minutes after 11 o'clock. Live music coming up in just a moment with Chris Niels. And we're also going to talk with Adam McGregor about the Cry America Festival, which is going to be taking place a week from tomorrow on Flagstaff Hill. I hope you'll join us in just a few days, Wednesday at 12:15, for our solar concert series. We're proud to curate this series and present it in collaboration with the Children's Museum of Pittsburgh and the new Hazlett Theater. Wednesdays at 12:15, you can get a complete schedule at solarconcertseries.org. This week, it's Big Snow, Big Thaw. Great duo. Dave and Jim have tight harmonies, guitar, clawhammer style banjo playing, and some terrific original songs. I hope to see you there this coming Wednesday at 12:15. Right in front of our building here in Allegheny Square, in front of the Children's Museum. We are going to talk in a few moments with Adam McGregor about next week's Cry America Festival. But first, we're going to hear from Chris Niels. Chris is an acoustic guitarist, and he played last year's festival and has been active in supporting Cry America. We'll talk about the reason that organization exists in a few moments. But right now, let's hear from Chris Niels.
Hey, it's really an honor to be here with you today. This first tune is one I like to warm up with. It's called Jesus is a Dying Bedmaker.
Thank you.
That's Chris Neils at the Saturday Light Brigade. That's John Fahey, right?
John Fahey.
I was pretty sure, but I wanted the check. And Adam McGregor, we'll hear another song from Chris in just a second. Adam McGregor is here. And Cry America is about the rights of children. And what I think is unique about the organization, among other things, is it's about existing rights of children that some children and families do not know exist. And it seems impossible. Maybe not. Maybe it actually, the more I think about it, I know so many people who qualify for support programs in our country that are not aware that they qualify for them. But there are some very basic rights of children in India, not due to any desire to be despicable, so to speak, taking a word from one of the films that's going to be showing next week, but more just to a poor communication and poor education. And that's something that Cry America's working to try to resolve.
That's correct. Thanks for having us here today, Larry.
We're happy
appreciate
to be
being
here.
Back.
Yeah, thanks, Larry.
And tell us a little bit about what...
Sure. So Cry America was founded in 2003 in Boston, Massachusetts. It's a partner of Cry in India. Cry in India has been around since about 1978. And since then, Cry America and Cry India have supported projects in India that, as you said, are aimed at restoring some of those basic rights to children in India, primarily in underprivileged communities, both in the rural areas and in the urban areas. And some of those rights that specifically we look at are, they come right from the United Nations Convention on the Rights of the Child, which outlines that every child has a right to survival, they have a right to protection, they have a right to development, and they have a right to participation. So the way that Cry America helps these communities realize those rights for their kids is we recognize that poverty is hardest on the most vulnerable members of the community, which are the children. The children often don't have a voice, so it's Cry's job to stand up for the kids with the help of organizations that we partner with throughout India. These organizations work directly with communities throughout the country. And they help them to sort of bridge some of those gaps in awareness that you were talking about, that there are programs in India that are required of the government to provide for its poorest and most vulnerable throughout the country. For example, government school system. It is law in India that every rural habitation or any like village over there needs to have a functioning government school within 2 kilometers of the village. But unfortunately, that is only true in about 50% of villages throughout India. So there are a lot of kids who don't have the opportunity to go to school. So what to do? Some of the organizations that we support with our fundraising here work with the communities to, through using the democratic process, you know, we got the advantage that India is the largest democracy in the world. You know, you've got 1.2 billion voices over there. So there's quite a bit of pool that there are that folks have just in the even just in the realm of numbers that we're talking about in some of these rural communities to mobilize them and get them to be aware that their kids do have a right to go to school. And that it's the duty of the elected officials in their area to provide these functioning schools for the kids. So we've had great successes just in the past 7 years throughout our support of about 47 projects throughout India. About that, the education end of things, we have, with the help of our partners in the field, activated 596 government schools throughout the country. Now, that might not sound like much in a country of 1.2 billion people and innumerable villages. And, you know, I think we work in about 1,200 villages throughout India. But, whenever you figure that this is change that is government supported, it's sustainable, and it's law. And, you know, once you've got a population that sort of feels maybe left out, sort of feels like they don't have a voice in the political process, they don't have a voice in the issues that affect them, and they see no way out of poverty. Once they get sort of sensitized to their rights, to the fact that their kids don't have to live like second-class citizens, nor to themselves, then we just sort of see a critical mass of support, you know, built around some of these issues. And these folks, it's really empowering to see some of these folks armed with the knowledge and what they are entitled to, they stand up and ask for it, and it's a great thing.
I want to talk a little bit more about the reasons that this work is necessary, or the the reasons this gap exists, for lack of a better word, and we'll do that in a second. Adam McGregor is the voice you just heard of Cry America. The Festival in the Park is a week from tomorrow, starting at 4 o'clock. There's food, there's music and dance, there's even a film, Despicable Me, will be shown. Also here is Chris Neils today, a guitarist. And Chris, what would you like to play next?
Well, this next tune I'm going to play is an original tune, and it's called The Ballad of Fred McCusker. Fred McCusker was my now deceased grandmother's second husband, and he was the first man to teach song to my brother and I. So this is a song for him.
That's the guitar of Chris Neils, and Adam McGregor is here as well. We're talking about Cry America's festival coming up. It's a mix of music and information next week, and this program is also a mix of music and information today. There's a market there featuring Indian jewelry and accessories. There are activities for kids. It's an educational event as well as one that's entertaining, and it's taking place on Flagstaff Hill at Schenley Park a week from tomorrow, Sunday, July 17th, starting at 4 o'clock. Now, we're talking a bit about the reason for this event, which is to help make sure that people are aware of their rights in India. And no society ever is perfect and can provide equity, no matter – I hate to say that, but as much as people try, it's hard. Equity is very difficult to achieve. What has been the reason? Is it the sheer number of people? Is it geography? Is it history? Why do you think it's so important? And I know that's kind of a sticky subject.
Right,
but,
right.
Why has this happened?
I would say it's a combination of factors. It's a combination of everything that you mentioned and more. I think that my colleague Manish here, who is with me from Cry America, Pittsburgh Action Center, would agree. But you know, you see, part of it is numbers, like you said. I mean, we're dealing with huge populations of folks. We're dealing with populations of folks who have traditionally been sort of pushed to the margins. There is some degree of bias against the poor and some of the underprivileged and some of the traditionally underprivileged that live in the very remote areas of the country, as well as in your urban slums and that kind of thing. You know, if any of your listeners have seen the movie Slumdog Millionaire, for example, like there's a fairly true to life portrayal of the kinds of lives that folks live in some of the urban areas and in some of the slums, some of the very poorest of the poor. And, you know, it's been Cry's mission to connect those folks with not only with the understanding that they do have rights and entitlements under Indian law, but to show them, you know, the processes by which they can claim those rights. You know, they like I said, you know, in the last segment, you know, we've got a democratic process in our corner, and these folks can, you know, their vote is their voice, basically. You know, it's the interesting thing whenever you're dealing with these issues from a human rights and from a child rights kind of perspective, because a lot of people say, well, what exactly does Cry America do? And I always find that the easiest thing to start off with is to explain to them what we don't do, which is we don't provide food for folks. We don't provide medical care for folks. We don't build schools and that kind of thing, because there are already government institutions that are there that provide those things. And they can do it a lot more sustainably than a private non-governmental organization or a nonprofit that is prone to all kind of, you know, the funding may run out or there might be some sort of logistical concerns that would prevent these services from being delivered. So to connect those folks who are in need with the programs that can help them out.
So, and I don't want to put words in your mouth, but is it American-style political action, or is it communications? Because Cry India exists, but I guess it's money, for one, just to help provide money to allow Cry India to do its job, to try to spread the word.
Correct.
But it's good to define what you don't do, but I want to be sure we define what you do.
Right. What we do is provide funding and resources for partner organizations that are working in the field of child rights. Essentially, a lot of people have said, you know, well, you're kind of like a foundation because we're sort of like a grant making.
Yeah, that's right? A good analogy.
Yeah. So we support, Cry America, that is, supports 23 projects throughout India. And this is through all the states of India, all across, you know, all across India. We've got projects, you know, in and around Bombay, Mumbai. We got projects from where Manish is from, you know, out in the eastern part of India as well. And, you know, just all over the country. We also support 4 projects in the United States because we are Cry America, and we do like to look at some of these issues through a child rights lens in the U.S.
Tell me what those projects are.
One of them, very prominent, is the Boys and Girls Club of America, and they do have some projects that are aimed at making sure that kids have proper outlets, making sure that kids have things to do, you know, after school in their communities and that kind of thing. So we support them. We've supported them actually since our inception, I believe. And we've got a couple of Boys and Girls Clubs right in Pittsburgh, so it's great to have sort of a local connection there as well. Our Action Center, or volunteer, we call them Action Centers, but they're basically volunteer chapters. We got about 25 of them throughout the United States. One of the really active ones is out in Detroit, Michigan, and they're doing some great stuff with some local schools out there by helping to fund different kinds of programs that teach kids about India, teach kids about the situation of some of their peers who are, you know, just on the other side of the world and living radically different lives, you know, just sort of trying to, you know, it's all about making the connection with kids is what we found, not only here, but even at some of the projects in India. One of the things that we work for is the right to participation, the right to the kids in these projects. Just because we're helping them out doesn't mean they should be left out of that process, right? So one of the things that we've done over the past 7 years, again, one of our impacts is we've got over 550 children's groups that have been formed throughout some of the projects we support. And these groups do all kinds of things. I mean, one of them that I saw, which is really interesting, in a slum in Calcutta when I was there. I was interning for Cry America about 3 years back. And the children's group there had about 15 members. They had put together their own magazine, and it was all completely written. Artwork was produced by kids, for kids. And the aim of it was to get the other members of the community, kids and parents and officials and pretty much anybody who would read the magazine, aware of some of the issues that kids feel are important to them. You know, this particular slum had a high incidence of kids who were working. No child should be working. The children should be in school, you know. And the kids felt this way too. So there were a lot of essays saying that, you know, the schools should be restarted. The parents and the government officials should take the steps to make sure that we have the opportunities and that our parents have the livelihood opportunities so that we don't have to be sent to work, you know. So it was very interesting and just totally inspiring to meet these kids who were just wise beyond their years, you know. And they even let me keep a copy of the magazine, which is great. I love it. I show it. I wish I would have brought it today, actually, but can't really see it over the radio. But,
that's you're hearing the voice of Adam McGregor with Cry America, and in a minute we'll come back and talk about individual actions, things you can do, whether it be attending next week's festival to learn more about the conditions in India and the United States that Cry America and Cry India are trying to improve for children. And we'll talk about those things in just a few moments. You're listening to the show that gets your weekend off to a good start, the Saturday Light Brigade Saturday mornings on public radio. Thanks for doing that. The high today is going to be about 85 degrees. Tomorrow, nearly 90. Overnight, 62 degrees, 8:52 for tomorrow's sunset, and no rain in the forecast all weekend. Currently 75 in Indiana, 79 in New Concord, and 73 in Grove City, Washington, Clarion, and at our studios in historic Allegheny Square. We're also joined today by Chris Neals, and Chris is going to play another song coming up, and we're probably going to have time, I think, for two more, Chris. One more here and then one after our next interview segment.
Sounds great.
What would you like to play next?
Well, this next tune is another original one, and it's based on a style of blues guitar that was started by Blind Blake, who was a Piedmont blues artist from the early 20th century. The tune is called, this is the Allegheny River Rag.
And before you play, forgive me, you know, we haven't done a very good job of, I haven't done a very good job of asking you a little bit about yourself.
Oh, hey, yeah.
Are you from Pittsburgh originally? Tell me a little bit about your background.
Well, I've lived in Pittsburgh since the summer of 2002. I was born in Charlottesville, Virginia, lived in Florida, lived in Manhattan, Ohio, and have called Pittsburgh home for the past eight or 9 years now. Yeah.
And Charlottesville's a university town, if I remember correctly, right?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, I thought so. And when did you start playing guitar?
Well, got my first guitar when, on my 14th birthday. It was an electric six-string, and played punk music for a good 4 or 5 years there. In the late teens and early 20s, I ended up meeting a teacher. I had just purchased an acoustic guitar, and I met a teacher, and he got me into the style of finger picking.
Was that here in Pittsburgh?
Yes.
Was that Ernie Hawkins?
No. Well, actually, he's a friend of Ernie Hawkins, yeah. But his name is Dave Shilo.
Okay, I know Dave.
Yeah. Good man. Good teacher. So I studied under him for. We met a couple times a week for a good year straight, and ever since we get together on and off. We maintain a good relationship, and.
But that's great. Are you playing out much, or playing in groups, or recording, or doing anything that we should note?
Well, actually, doing a performance this afternoon in Bloomfield. There's the Torley Manor Blues and Folk Festival at a house in Bloomfield. Now, this is the fourth annual, and I've played every one, so it's really an honor to be playing again for the fourth year in a row.
Well, that's great. Where is that?
It's in Bloomfield on Torley Street.
Okay, so a bit of a block party type of atmosphere there.
Yeah, you know, there'll be food, there'll be beer, good music, good people, you know, should be a good time.
Well, great. Well, let's, you're starting to introduce this song. It's called the Allegheny River Rag.
Allegheny River Rag, that's
blind,
correct.
Blind Blake, and once again, here's Chris.
It's not a Blind Blake tune.
Oh, it's
however,
in style.
It's based on that style. That's okay. Correct. It is an original tune.
Great. So here, yeah, I was going to say, he wouldn't have been around the Allegheny River.
that's for sure.
Here's Chris Neal.
This is the Pennsylvania Piedmont.
Nice. That's Chris Neal once again. And Chris performed at last year's Cry America Festival here in Pittsburgh and has been actively involved and is here in part to show his support. That's one way you can show support to try to improve conditions in India as well as in parts of the United States. Attending this festival certainly is another way to show your support, both in spirit as well as directly. There will be food there as well as lots of entertainment and activities and a movie with all proceeds benefiting child rights projects in India and the United States. Facebook.com/CRYPGH is the place to go for additional information, or 412-229-7CRY. Are there some other ways, and this is a week from tomorrow at 4 o'clock at Schenley Park until dusk. Are there other things folks can do in terms of spreading information or helping to call attention to the projects you're funding and doing?
Absolutely. If they go to our national website, which is www.america.cry.org, they can read about all the projects that we support in India, and they can also read about the projects that we support here, which, like I said in the last segment, we do support the Boys and Girls Club of America, as well as I had my list in front of me. We also support Voices for America's Children, the Child Welfare League of America, and Child Rights Incorporated. Those are all American organizations that are working towards some of those same issues, connecting folks with the services that can help them in the United States.
And the website again?
It's www.america.cry.org.
Excellent. Uh-huh. And you can find more information there. And it's an opportunity to really reflect on children's rights and how they sadly go unfulfilled in lots of instances. And I'm really pleased, pleased that issues in the United States are being addressed as well as in India. Right. I'm not pleased that the issues exist, yeah. But I think it's important. Is CRY India also taking an interest in the United States? Are there – you may not know the answer, but are there people at CRY India that are showing some interest in projects here in the U.S. and much of the – in a similar way that we are showing.
Right. That
it's not exactly parallel.
Right,
but
right. I can't speak for the individual supporters of CRY in India. And, of course, CRY America being a fundraising partner of CRY in India. We're just based in the United States. I know that there is some monitoring of the stateside projects, mm-hmm. that we support from the some of the CRY America leadership that is based
well,
in their office in
Hawaii. That's more or less what I meant.
Right,
so,
right.
So they're keeping right. tabs on that, because I think it's important to know that you're not the only
right,
people
yeah.
in that condition.
And there's things that can be learned by looking at both sides, right? There are things that can be – there are solutions that can be applied – that have been tried, in India for some of these strategies, that have maybe not yet been tried in the United States and vice versa. So there's a real opportunity for kind of that cross-cultural learning and that cross-cultural exchange that I think really is sort of like a fringe benefit of having mm-hmm. CRY America active here, So I'm sure that CRY India benefits from our presence.
Well, I hope next week's event is a resounding success. It's Sunday, 4 o'clock, Flagstaff Hill, Schenley Park in Oakland, right across from Phipps Conservatory near Carnegie Mellon's campus, sort of on the, I guess it would be the south side of the campus, not the south side.
Right off of Frew Street.
Yeah, off of Frew Street.
Yeah.
But it's the big lawn where you play frisbee and mm-hmm. Suntan and do all those things from time to time.
Which you can still do next week. There'll just be a lot of great Indian music being played. I wanted to actually thank Chris for a wonderful performance today.
Yes.
Yeah. Chris performed with us last year with a group, with one of our other performers who will be performing this year, Mike Tamburo. And, we've got a great program this year with Akshay Hardy, who actually sang on the Saturday Light Brigade mm-hmm. program last year. He sang some Bollywood songs. We've got Shankar Krish, who is a violinist. He plays South Indian violin. We've got a couple of other dance groups that will be performing classical Indian dance forms. And we've got Steel City Bhangra, who's going to be performing this year. They do the real high-energy Punjabi dance music.
Nice.
So that's very popular, I know. It's getting more popular in the clubs, actually, so come out and see the original.
Yeah, and learn that like any culture, music from India is not monolithic. There's lots of different variations, and
that's
you'll get
truth.
A chance to see that. Adam McGregor is with Cry America and Pittsburgh here. Cry Pittsburgh. Is there anything else you'd like to mention? We're going to have Chris play another song, but this will be our last chance to chat about next week.
Well, I would like to thank you for the opportunity to talk about the festival. I'd like to thank the listeners, and if they would like any further information on either the festival, or if they'd like to volunteer for either the festival, or if they'd like to join our volunteer group, they can give us a call at 412-229-7CRY. They can check out the Cry America website. Again, that's at www.america.cry.org. And you can find our Pittsburgh Action Center on Facebook at facebook.com/cry, CRYPGH. And yeah, I think that's about it. Please come on out next week. You know, we'll keep some rice warm for you.
Thanks, Adam. We'll keep some rice warm. I like it. Thank you, Adam. And this is a great, you know, a grassroots kind of effort. And if you've been looking for a way to add some meaning, or at least to learn about what's going on, this is a good opportunity. You can just, if you choose to, you can lurk simply to learn more about what's going on. Thank you, Adam. And Chris, what would you like to finish up with?
Well, this last tune is a cover song. It's called If I Needed You. If I needed you, would you come to me? Would you come to me and ease my pain? If you needed me, I would come to you. Yes, I'd swim the seas to ease your pain. When the night's forlorn and the morning's born, but the morning shines with the lights of love, you will miss the sunrise if you close your eyes, and that would break my heart in two. Since love showed her how to lay her little hand in mine, surely you will agree, she's a pretty sight to see and a treasure for a man to find. Well, if I needed you, would you come to me? Would you come to me and ease my pain? If you needed me, I would come to you. Yes, I'd swim the seas to ease your pain. Yes, I'd swim the seas to ease your pain.
Thank you. That's Chris. Neil's representing Cry America.
Just a closer walk with thee.
Just a closer walk with thee. Just a closer walk with thee.
Loving Jesus.
Just a closer walk with thee.
If you please.
Just a closer walk with thee. Just a closer walk with thee.
I love the Lord. I love the Lord. I love the Lord. I know the Lord.
a closer walk with thee. Just a closer walk with thee.
Just keep me from
the Persuasions, along with the performers, many of them, from the Bread and Roses Festival of Acoustic Music from 1974 in California. And Susanna Ortner-Roberts played Just a Closer Walk with Thee on clarinet, as her husband Tom Roberts played along with her both last Saturday, just about at this time, on SLB, as well as at our solar concert series last weekend. And I was telling Susanna, or last Wednesday, and I was telling Susanna how much I think she would enjoy that version of it, and that was played for her.
The Saturday Light Brigade is made possible in part with support from Fresh Fridays at the Northside Farmers Market, running Friday afternoons through August 26th from 4 to 6 p.m. Fresh Fridays features a chef's table with local chefs preparing a simple summer dish from ingredients purchased at the farmers market that day, interactive family activities, and the 2011 Alcoa Environmental Series. The Northside Farmers Market is located in Allegheny Commons Park in historic Deutschtown. Fresh Fridays at the Northside Farmers Market is sponsored by the Charm Bracelet Project Fund through the generous support of the Grable Foundation, with additional support from Alcoa, Allegheny Center Alliance Church, Elm Street and Historic Deutschtown, and City Parks Farmers Market. More information is available on Facebook at facebook.com/FreshFridaysNorthside.
Speaking of the Solar Concert Series,
the Solar Concert Series is back. The summer sun powers the sound system for Pittsburgh's first green concert series. The Solar Concert Series takes place every Wednesday at 12:15 p.m. in July and August in front of the Children's Museum in Allegheny Square. That's on Pittsburgh's historic north side, and every show is free. The Solar Concert Series is a project of the New Hazlett Theater, the Saturday Light Brigade, and the Children's Museum of Pittsburgh. For a complete schedule, you can visit solarconcertseries.org.
This week, it's big snow, big thaw. I hope you'll join them. Thanks to our guests today, the ones you just heard a few moments ago, Chris Neils and Adam McGregor. Also, our thanks to Sydney Wolf and Sasha Katarski playing during our Youth Expression Showcase, and from Pittsburgh Parks Conservancy with a preview of the 15th birthday celebration taking place tomorrow at Chenley Plaza from 2 until 5. We thank Marika Hecht. Also thanks to Jan Boyd representing Fair Play. I'll see you there this afternoon between 3 and 7. Thank you for being along with us today. We tried to mention the name of everybody calling or emailing or texting or tweeting or Facebooking. If we missed your name, we apologize if it's your style to listen and play along on your own. Insert your name right here. You're a big part of the Saturday Light Brigade. Join us again next week right here for the show that gets your weekend off to a good start, the Saturday Light Brigade, Saturday mornings on public radio.